Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Today we answer the question, what would happen if you gave a 14-year-old boy $12 million and told him to go film a zombie movie? We watched The House of the Dead. What is up, everybody? I am excited. I am jazzed because we finally get to talk about a UA Bowl movie. I am, of course, your host, Rob Coakley, joined, as always, by Dave Wilkins.
Hello, Rob. I am a huge fan of zombie movies, so this should be exciting.
Yes, and Jesse Wilkins.
I'm a huge fan of video games, so this should be a great movie that I would have loved.
And as we already brought up, we're talking about House of the Dead, based on the 1996 video game that I think almost everyone has played at some point. I mean, it's essentially the horror version of Time Crisis. Actually beat House of the Dead about 6 months or so ago with our friend Crystal Quinn. Very good at shooting video games. She is terrible at air hockey, though. So if you ever want to just like get an easy layup and winning that game, play against Crystal. But we beat that game, but we're not here to talk about the game. We're here to talk about the movie, which is technically a prequel to the game, which still doesn't make sense. But Dave, why don't you hit us with a synopsis?
House of the Dead, 2003, directed by UA Bowl. Simon and Greg meet a group of friends and set out to attend a rave on a remote island. When they miss the ferry, they decide to ride with Kirk, a smuggler. They find the island deserted and discover that the partygoers have been killed by zombies. Now the group must evade the deadly creatures to try and find safety. However, the only means of escape, Kirk's boat, has been overrun, forcing survivors to ward off the undead. So, this was a movie. And I will say that it is too bad that when you beat the game, it didn't just delete everything that had to do with House of the Dead off the entire planet, even though it is a great game. Not a great movie. When they try to make movies from video games, they're almost never good. Once in a while, you get a good one. But most of the time, they're just the movies are duds and they're just goofy and they're not good, for lack of a better term. And this is absolutely one of those situations. Now, this movie has a pretty good size cult following. It didn't do great in the box office, but it's one of those movies that was kind of like a slow burn, that so bad it was fun, that people really latched onto this. And it's become one of those almost like Sharknado and The Room and things like that, with movies so bad that people just love it. And I can see that. Some of this movie, it was fun and funny and amusing, but there is a lot of negatives to go over on this movie. I'm not going to go over all of them right now. Sometimes you guys get mad at me when I say everything that needs to be said about the movie before you guys get a chance to talk. So I'm just going to pick one thing that pissed me off about this movie that I thought really sucked. And I think for me, it was the biggest problem. And it was the character dialogue was atrocious. So bad. Sometimes good acting can save character dialogue. That doesn't matter in this case because there also wasn't any good acting. But the character dialogue was so fucking bad in this movie that it just takes you right out of it. Not that you could ever even be in it, because there's so many other bad things. But for me, it's the character dialogue.
Yeah.
Can I give a few? Okay, so let's start at the beginning. The rave looks like a terrible time. And that's okay. There are bad parties. I used to DJ. I DJed plenty of bad parties. My only problem with this is they're like, this is the rave of the year.
Of all time.
This is better than EDC. This is better than Ultra Music Festival. This is better than Burning Man. This is better than, well, it probably was better than Burning Man this year. This is better than all these other festivals. This is the rave of the year.
What was Ja Rule's festival that flopped? Fire?
Firefest?
Firefest? Was that what it was?
That was probably still better than Burning Man this year. Did you see the Burning Man stuff that happened this year? No, like it flooded out and everyone was just abandoned in the desert. Not good. But there was like 22 people here. this is not the rave of the year. But I can appreciate their enthusiasm when they show up and the beer taps are still working. They're like, hell yeah, this is going to be awesome. But then they're like, we're going to listen to music. Like, how? You know, hook up the sound system. You know how to do this? Dude, this movie was a disaster from start to finish. Things that drove me crazy about it, and I'll let you jump in, Rob, but I appreciate the idea that you're trying to capture the nostalgia of the video game and do some things that reflect on what happened in the game. Follow a general timeline of some scenes from it. That's fine. The cutaways with the stupid video game flashback were so unnecessary and dumb that it was just like, we get it. We know this was a video game. And maybe if you did one of them at some point, no, none of them. It was the dumbest editing decision since, I don't know.
Since House of the Dead.
No, 13 Ghosts with like all the flashing.
Oh, yeah.
That was a bad one as well. But this one is just like, it didn't need to be there. And it was so stupid. And they did so much of it. Virtually every time they killed one of these zombie things, it did a cutaway to, oh, look, it's just like the video game. Like, we get it, dude. We get it. You were a video game.
What's funny about that is everybody knows that movie adaptations from video games aren't good. So it's like, why are you reminding everybody that this is that every time there's a cutaway scene?
Yeah.
But the problem with that is, I just want to jump in since Dave's brought this up twice. The director of this movie is almost directly responsible for that cliche. Mm-hmm. Uwe Boll, or however you say his name, he bought up or did whatever to get the rights to all these video game movies, churned out all these different video game movies, and every movie he's directed is terrible. Just every single one. And a lot of them are video game based. So yeah, there were bad video game movies to begin with. Super Mario Brothers, terrible movie. Mortal Kombat, the original one, a lot of fun. Was it a great movie? No, but it was fun. The second Mortal Kombat movie, terrible. But then in the 2000s, you had Uwe Boll that was making these video game movies and they were so, so bad. I think it was Final Fantasy. I think he went to Ubisoft and was like, hey, you guys making a Final Fantasy movie? Can I make it? And they were like, they literally told them, we're not planning on making a movie. And if we were, we would not let you do it.
Yeah. So, you got to be honest in those scenarios. Otherwise, you end up with this.
Yeah, because then this happens. And what I'm shocked about more than anything, when I was researching this movie, $12 million budget in 2003.
What did they spend it on?
Well, yeah, where did this money go? Was it for location? Like, because I don't know what else you spent it on. The character designs were terrible.
Awful.
The special effects were bad. Save one thing. I have one positive thing to say about this movie. The 360 shots they did at one point were actually pretty cool looking, except they've only should have did it once. But because it was so cool looking, they did it 13 times.
Yeah, it was almost like a character selection in a video game. That's kind of the hint that I got there.
Same. And then when they would come out of it, they would have different weapons than they had in the 360 shot.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you're just like, dude, like.
There also wasn't a single 360. They were all like 720s to 1080s.
Yeah.
It was bad. The main thing that was terrible was find a different techno song. Number one, don't use techno in a movie like this. It just doesn't fit. I understand it's probably the soundtrack from the video game. That's okay. But it was the same the entire movie. And it shouldn't have fit. It didn't fit in a single one of these scenes. But if you take this movie and you do a few things differently with the editing and the music and the acting and the entire movie and the directing and the writing, then it could have been a fun movie, because it really could have with the plot of it, which you also need to fix that as well. But
I have a positive. That one scene where the boat captain is just on the boat smoking a cigar, blowing away zombies with this desert eagle.
He was the only likable character
in the movie. That was another another major negative of mine was the unlikability of the entire cast, except for him and that dude with the raincoat in the beginning.
Yeah, because the dude with the raincoat was probably the worst actor in the movie, but he was likable for the same reason that once his face was likable in 13 Ghosts. He was over the top and wacky, and I enjoyed him for that. In this one, yeah, he was over the top and wacky, but by minute one of this movie, I had already mailed it in on it being any remotely watchable, mm-hmm, you know, any kind of good. There wasn't a bit of good in this movie, but well, raincoat guy was fun.
The problem when you have an entire cast full of unlikable characters with terrible character dialogue, no character development, and really bad acting is you don't care when and how and if they die, which means you don't build any suspense, any tension, or anything. You can't, because if you can't care about the characters, then you can't have anything else that follows that you need in a horror movie, like tension and things like that.
It's also hard to care about characters that die as well when the other characters don't even care when they die.
Right. Yeah.
It's just not even a big deal. Like, it's just like, oh, whatevs.
They tried to show that they cared with the girl in blue when she came out of the tent as a zombie and they had to shoot her. Like, dude, she was my best friend. All right, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's all go to the house and make out. And that was an unnecessary scene. A lot of unnecessary scenes in this. The biggest thing is that, like, they could have done, well, there's a lot of biggest things in this movie. Everything was a big problem. But one of the things that they could have done was maybe establish that they knew how to fight beforehand. Maybe be like, oh yeah, it's me and my Muay Thai class, and we're going to go to this rave. So at least you know, at least there's a reason that all of a sudden they can absolutely kick ass. Everyone is just unbelievably or have them be former military or something. Like, have there be some sort of a reason why this random group of college kids going to a rave can absolutely kick ass when need be.
Yeah. True. They only set that up with one character and it was so like ham fisted to you, which is the girl with the sword, because they're doing the character, you know, breakdown at the beginning and they go, we broke up so that I could go study and so that she could go fence. I don't know when she'll ever need to use that.
Oh,
wink, okay. Wink, 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 wink. Just winking all over the place. Like, yeah, obviously she's going to be in a sword fight. Also, if you're setting that up, have her win the sword fight.
Yeah.
They should have stabbed the guy in the chest at the end. She should have won the sword fight, right? Like, because she's the fencer. And so, like, why was she fencing? Because she's clearly not good at it. Like she lost her fight. It was just so stupid. Like, you established that she was like this amazing sword fighter. So
right. Also, they must have missed the memo that it's a horror movie and you're supposed to have a final girl.
Right.
What are you doing?
Yeah, that's that well. So
but, I mean, she did just get up and walk off that sword injury at the end. So she was
No, she didn't. No, she didn't. You missed the character development. He put the blood on her so that she turned into a zombie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they was on the plane back, when he's like bringing her back, whatever she's become.
Yeah. So
she did get up after she got impaled by this thing. She falls down, and she's out for a little bit. And then when the dude's getting strangled by the headless guy, she does like, oh, I guess I'll be all right enough to stomp out this head real quick. Yeah. No one gets up from that.
No.
She does.
Let's go back to the beginning and let's talk about the whole movie again. So if we go back to the beginning.
Well, we might as well, because not to cut you off, Jesse, but there's a point in the movie where they just replay the whole movie.
Up basically. Until that point. Basically. Let's start with flaw number one. Besides, we'll put all the writing, all the editing, all that kind of stuff aside. Flaw number one is, it's pretty clear that the captain and his sidekick know that there's something evil on this island. Do they know of how far this evil will go? Do they know that there's an actual like zombie problem on this island? I don't know. But for now, they refuse to go there. Until they offer him not three, but like $500. Like $200 more. Whatever. Anywhere in that denomination should not be like, okay, yes, I will bring you to die now. It was too easy for him to flip-flop on. There is something evil and demonic on this island. His little sidekick raincoat guy tries to give him a crucifix and be like, this will keep the evil away, which she obviously didn't take. It's just for them to be like, well, okay, now outrun the police and do that. it just seemed like it wasn't enough of a bump in pay for him to be like, okay, cool. I'm gonna bring you there, and I'm gonna wait, because he was waiting a little while, or at least he was unloading his cargo. If he had known how dangerous that was, I don't think he would have done it for that amount of money, which is kind of my first issue there.
See, I had for my first flaw the opening credits, and I thought they were the worst opening credits of any movie I had ever watched in my life. They start with like the techno song that we're gonna hear 800 more times.
Prodigy.
And all the flashing, and it's awful. And then it just cuts to like a regular solemn song, and they're still doing the opening credits. And then it cuts back to the techno song to finish the opening credits. Yeah. I'm just like, this is the worst opening credits I've ever seen in my life.
This is one of the worst movie scores of all time. And it wasn't just the Prodigy song that they kept repeating over and over and over again. There was also that one big fight scene in the middle of the movie where they had that terrible rap song, whatever that was.
Yep.
I sound like a boomer right now. That terrible rap music, whatever. But no, but it was a legitimately bad song. And they're just like, what is this? Why are you using this?
Custom made for the movie. Let me present this picture to you guys and see if you can figure out what is wrong with it. For audio listeners, this is one of the women in the movie, and she is holding a shotgun. Mm-hmm. Right against her chin. Have any of you shot a shotgun before? Yeah. Do you know what will happen to her mouth when she shoots that shotgun?
Yeah, she'll have to pick her jaw off the floor. Yeah. So that somebody doesn't trip over it or something.
Exactly. Just a little bit of flaws that we see in this movie. There's a lot of them, but this was a movie where I scrolled my mouse over the timer to see how much was left. And there was an hour left, and I was like, dude, you have got to be kidding me. I felt like I was watching it all day. And I was like, I can't. This is one of those ones where I'm like, I actually don't know if I'm going to finish this movie. And I did. But I was dreading just the remaining like 50 minutes to an hour that were left. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And I'm like, I really hope it's a really long credit roll at the end, because I don't want to sit through the final 25 minutes once I got to that point. And luckily, it was a solid 10 minutes of end of the movie. I'm like, all right, fine. Yikes.
I want to get back to the score, though, because we've brought it up twice. And I think, to the point that both of you have kind of like alluded to, if some of the tension, quote unquote, supposed to be tension building scenes, like when the zombies are creeping through the woods or coming to attack them, if we went with some sort of spooky, scary music, like, would it be good? No, but it would be better, right? The techno music playing as the zombies are coming up to attack them is like one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. And I think this is sort of like the extreme end. We always talk about how bad a lot of horror movies were in this decade. Mm-hmm. And this is obviously clearly towards the extremely bad end. But this is some of the stuff they were doing where it's like, you're just not even scoring the movie properly. What are we doing here? Like, it's not that hard, guys. We can just make it a little scarier, and that would have not made it better. But do you guys know what this got for a score on Rotten Tomatoes?
3%.
Yeah, 3%.
Oh, okay.
Which is 3%. Generous.
And I bet if you change that music, it doubles that score at least. You get at least Maybe. A 6%. Right? Because it's just not good. The score is... I think the score might actually be the biggest problem in the movie.
It's among the biggest problems. There was from the cutaway scenes to like the stupid transitions, the terrible graphics, the really bad costume design, the inconsistency with the zombies. There was no consistency whatsoever. You usually if you have a zombie movie, you have one specific type of zombie, whether they're slow zombies like the Night of the Living Dead, or if they're fast zombies like World War Z, or what. This one had like 17 different variations of zombie. And then there was like the intelligent ones, and it was just so messy and sloppy and lazy and borderline unwatchable. I understand some people watch it for the fun aspect of just it being fun bad. But for me, I was more on Jesse's keep checking my watch page there.
Well, it's definitely like if you're doing that, you're watching it with a group, right? Mm-hmm. This is definitely a movie that if you're doing it for those purposes, watching it by yourself is not the way to do it. It's you get 6, 7, 8 friends together, you get in the living room, you have a bunch of snacks, and you're just laughing at the movie as it plays together. Mm-hmm. That's the way. If you're going to watch this movie, that is the way to watch this movie. It's like The Room, like you brought it up. I don't sit down and watch The Room by myself.
No,
but if we all get together or we go to the theater, it's mm-hmm. one of the best times ever, yeah, right?
It really is.
The thing with The Room was it was unconsciously bad, right? Like, so he was trying to make a good movie, and it's hilarious because he was trying and it came out so bad. This movie, they made decisions in this movie that were just absolutely stupid decisions. The music, the editing, the costumes, like we said, the entire cast, like the whole movie just was a train wreck from start to finish, but they knew what they were doing. And that's my biggest problem with this movie. It's just like, it's just a movie made by somebody who shouldn't make movies. And that's my opinion on that. There was also,
I want to fight back a little bit on that because I'm not convinced that he did a lot of that intentionally. I will definitely agree it was made by somebody that doesn't know how to make movies. But if you watch his movies, because this was his first movie, and you could normally be like, okay, it was his first movie. He can get a lot of this out of his system. He can learn what works, what doesn't work. He never gets better as a director.
You're not pushing back. You're agreeing with me that this is made by someone who shouldn't make movies. Right?
No, but you made it sound like he did all of this intentionally, and I don't think he did it intentionally. I think he was.
Wait, no, I'm not saying he made. No. Sorry, we are lost here. I was saying that he made these decisions. I guess it would be sort of like The Room. Like he was actually trying to make a good movie.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, he made the conscious decision to use the video game edits and do the flashbacks and do all of these different things that were just absolutely unnecessarily and stupid. We just rewatched the final few minutes because Dave had missed the final 10 minutes. So before we did this review, we're like, all right, let's watch the end of the movie so Dave could see the entire movie because he didn't get to watch the whole thing today. So we rewatched this and I caught a scene. I don't know if you guys caught this too. I meant to mention it. It's in like towards the final scene, they're walking through a tunnel. There's still three people left. And they're walking through the tunnel and the zombies start coming out of the wall. Did you notice that one of these zombies who had, in theory, has been encased in this wall for thousands of years due to the growth, like the plants that are growing off them, looks like something from like the, you know, the ship in Pirates of the Caribbean where they're all built into the walls and the Flying Dutchman, you know, that scene where they're kind of coming out of it. It's clear that they've been there for years or whatever. That's the idea. There is one zombie, and I just tried to find a picture of it, but I couldn't find it. There was one zombie with a brand new pirate hat that you would get at like Party City or something like that. One of those little Halloween pirate hats that you just stick on top of your head. And you're like, where the fuck did he get that? What's that about?
He's a pirate. There's so many things in this movie that you see happen that a real director would have been like, get that out. That's stupid. Like when they're trying to barricade the door and one girl just leans a shovel against it. Yeah. Like that's going to do so. It's like any director worth their salt will be like, what the fuck was that? Cut that. Get that out of there, you idiot. Like this has to look real. It has to look believe or at least believable. Even if it's an off the wall movie, we want people to believe that at least the people that are making the movie believe what they're doing.
Right.
So the idea with that scene was, you know, when you take a chair and you wedge it underneath the doorknob, that was what she was kind of doing, but it wasn't even close. She literally just leaned the shovel and tried to like wedge it into the crack of the opening. It would have done absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. And then they load like a wooden pallet against it. It's like, my kids could push that open. This is absolutely ridiculous. It didn't matter anyways. They punch it through the door anyways.
Absolutely ridiculous. Another scene like that is when they're leaving the tunnel, the two of them at the end of the movie, and he slams the door. The door slams so hard it opens back up. But when they shoot back to the explosion, the door is closed tightly. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, oh, okay. So like stupid little continuity errors like that. That, to your point, Dave, any normal director would catch. And then Uwe Boll does this with all of his movies going forward. We've heard about like movies being a source of money laundering, and it becomes hard to think that it's anything else when you start watching a movie like this, right? You're like, why is he still making movies? And he's directed way more movies than he should. I mean, I think he finances a lot of them on his own, and that's how he gets to do it. But it's like, dude, why is he doing these? Who is paying him money? Where is he getting the backing? How is he making any money off of these? Yeah. Like, I could get making the money off of this one because it was his first one. Nobody knows better. But after his sixth movie, like, what are we doing, guys? Why are we still letting He's getting guys like Jason Statham and Ray Liotta in some of his movies too.
Yeah, just going through his catalog real quick, I can see out of 57 movies, there are two that have a higher than a 6-star rating on IMDb. Everything else is sub 5. Lunar Project 4.9, Hanau 2.5, House of Evil 2.8, Welcome to Wiltus 4.1, Rampage 4, Zombie Massacre 2, Reich of the Dead 2.5. 3.2, 2.7, 2.2, 5.2, 3.7, 3.0, Dragon Dog surprisingly didn't do well. There's not a good track record there.
No, he doesn't make movies.
And you'd have to look at just his direct, like, because those are probably some movies that he actually just produced. So you'd have to go through like his just directorial stuff. And I bet it's almost even worse. It's just he's not. It's just not good, man. He just doesn't make good movies. And it's a shame because not only did he do that, he did Alone in the Dark. He did Blood Rain.
2.4 on Alone in the Dark.
Yeah. Postal, Far Cry. He did Rampage, as you brought up. Like, these are all video game movies that he's helping perpetuate that stereotype that video game movies can't be good. And he also is perpetuating my least favorite thing that video game movies do, where you have a source material, right? You should be adapting that source material. And almost every director that does a video game movie wants to put their own spin on it, change the story. So then you're getting like a different adaptation. You saw it with Resident Evil when, you know, Mia Jovovich and all of those movies, you never got the actual Resident Evil game. Mortal Kombat, the first one, was great. You know why people like the first Mortal Kombat? Because it had the tournament, right? Like, Mortal Kombat is a fighting tournament. You had the fighting tournament. You didn't need anything else. You didn't need a lot of story. And that was where they messed up with this last Mortal Kombat. Like, it was fine, but they didn't have the tournament. Yeah, so
I like the latest one.
Yeah, it was fine. But like, if you watch it again, I bet you don't like it as much. The opening scene just kicks ass. That's all. The opening scene is amazing.
His two highest rated movies are Rampage, which was 2014. That got a 6, and Assault on Wall Street, also an even 6. Those look like action movies. And those are his two highest rated movies that he directed. Everything else is like 3.0 or below. Like, so his track record speaks for itself, man. And this movie speaks for itself. If you watch this movie, you know, like, there's no hope. There's no hope. I have a new least favorite director.
He just doesn't do good, man. It's just not great. But is there anything else we wanted to hit on in this particular movie? It is bad. And I will say, do not watch it on your own. Do not watch this movie.
Way too scary. Way too scary.
the directing decisions are. Yeah.
Was any sort of scene that you're like, ooh, that was a little scary right there. You know? It was completely lacking that at all.
We didn't even talk about the main villain.
We don't need to. It was really bad. What made you force us to watch this movie?
So we've been watching a lot of really good movies, right? And I knew I wanted to do an Uwe Boll movie at some point, and I wanted to mix in. I'm like, all right, so let's do House of the Dead. It's horror. It's his first movie. I think I saw it in 2003. I don't even remember if I did or not. Maybe I don't know. I don't remember if I watched it or not. I knew it was going to be bad. It was Uwe Boll. I know Uwe Boll. Not everyone knows him, obviously, for good reason. But I knew all his.
How long have you known him? Like, you guys hang out?
Yeah, I yell at him every day. I call him and yell at him for 45 minutes every single day. And to be honest, I messed up because I didn't know that Night Swim was on Peacock now, and we could have watched Night Swim instead. Mm. So that's what we should have done. But
bummer.
But I think people are happy that we watched this movie.
I think that they're going to be ecstatic. They'll be beside themselves. They'll be like, I'm so glad they watched this movie. When I looked this movie up after you recommended it, I was like, I saw the picture of the movie. I was like, oh, I've seen this. I've absolutely seen this. I've scrolled past this a million times. There's no way I wouldn't have clicked on it because it looks right up my alley. I did not see this movie, but what I think this is one of the dozens of horror movies that I'm just laying on my couch figuring what I want to watch. And I definitely clicked on that in the past, probably watched 10 seconds of it and shut it off and watched something else. That is almost 100% what happened.
It has one of those posters where when you sent it over, like, this is what we're going to watch, I saw the poster and I was like, I've seen that. And I think that's why. It just has that familiar look to it. It looks like it's going to be a good movie. When you look at that poster, I was like, oh, cool, something demonic, maybe a little Exorcist thing going on here, maybe. House of Dead, maybe a serial killer stashing some bodies in his house. No, there was barely even a house in this movie.
Yeah. So, the title, the Of the Dead, for me, suggests zombies.
Yeah.
Right.
I've got two more things I want to bring up in this movie really quickly. This movie is called House of the Dead. Mm-hmm. It's 90 minutes long. 59 minutes and 20 seconds before someone finally entered the House of the Dead. So we took almost...
That's not true.
That is true.
No, it's not. One of the first kill scenes for one of the first couple characters. Two of the first couple characters that get killed off or happens inside that
house. Yeah, they stop by the house three times, actually.
That's a good point. I was paying oohs of attention. my favorite quote in this movie was, "Your body parts, they will serve me well for a long time," which I've now put in my Tinder profile. So
that is great. Okay. Yeah. Look at that. We were able to take something positive out of this movie. Yes. Perfect. Okay. Do we have a plan on what we're going to watch next?
Oh, we're going to give a score?
We're going to give some ratings.
Oh, it's a zero. Just a fucking zero. Like, there's absolutely nothing redeeming.
Zeros out like I give fives.
I can't give this a single... I'll give it a 0.1. Okay, we'll go... No, I'm being a dick. I'm going to give it a 0.1 because I like the captain.
Yeah, he was cool.
All right, I'll give it a 0.7 because I think that you can watch this with a group of friends and have fun.
Yeah. I'll vote present. I'm just kidding. Okay. I'll give it a 0.5, half a star, for the same reason as Rob, for the same reason both of you. I think it's it could be fun with a group of friends, and the captain was pretty cool.
Yeah. Captain Kirk. I understand that you wanted to throw a bad movie at us, but I am actually shocked that you watched this movie at some point in your life and decided that it is time to give it another go.
I don't know if I did watch this at some point. I thought I had seen it, but as I was watching it, I'm like, I don't remember any of this. So maybe I just knew of its existence and knew it was bad, but never watched it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you notice, usually on Tuesdays on the live episode, regular episodes, I always say, you know, if you want to stay up to par with what we're watching, House of the Dead is what we're watching, yada, yada, yada. So go watch it if you want to keep up. No, I don't recommend anybody watches this movie, even with a group of friends. If you guys are going to do that, I don't want to be invited. Leave me out of that one. I will sit in my office and yell at my audio production software all by myself, as I usually do. All right, I think that'll pretty much
prison.
Back in the old lockup.
So the next movie that we're going to review, if you guys don't have any issues with this, we're going to review a new one. We're going to review Immaculate. Came out in March.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Do we have access to Immaculate?
I do.
We always have access.
All right.
Watch it at your PC, or you can go to the theaters to watch it. But yeah, it's the new one starring Sydney Sweeney.
All right, let's do it.
Cool.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this horror movie review. Let us know what you thought of this movie. I want to know in the comments if you watched it, what your star rating is. You can't go worse than Jesse's 0.1, right? It's watchable with friends. Like, you can do it.
It's not watchable with anyone. It's not watchable with enemies. It is considered terrorism for you to even tell your enemies to watch this.
Thanks. Now this video is flagged. To get us unflagged, please leave a comment, like, subscribe, all the fun stuff. Let us know in the comments what you thought. We'll catch you later. Peace.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.